The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Shavua Tov, and a Shana Tova to you. How are you?
Shavua Tov, Shana Tova. It feels a little strange to say Shavua Tov on a Wednesday.
I know, I was thinking that. It was just a bit weird, it is a bit odd.
Tavshin Pei.
Yep.
Three letters for the new year, 5780. When we're on the decade, on the round number, only three letters, so people are kind of getting used to that. And of course, Tzom Gedaliah, fast day today, which I'm told by reliable sources has nothing to do with trying to recover from the overeating of Rosh Hashanah. There we have it. And I know we haven't got a lot of time, but I was going to talk a little bit about why it is that we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in Israel when all of the other Chagim are only one day, but perhaps we'll leave that as a little teaser until the end, or maybe tomorrow if we have enough time to go through everything.
Yeah, absolutely great. A pre-indictment hearing in the cases against Prime Minister Netanyahu are due to begin today for the next 4 days. All right, what is the purpose of these pre-indictment hearings?
Well, the purpose of these hearings, by the way, the hearings were originally only set for 2 days, the Attorney General, Mandelblit, decided that they would be expanded to 4 days. So that means today and tomorrow, which of course are the two working days of this week, and Sunday and Monday of next week, just before Yom Kippur, Tuesday being Erev Yom Kippur, and of course the country closes down. So Prime Minister Netanyahu and his legal team will have 4 days of pre-indictment hearings. The idea of these hearings is really to allow Netanyahu's legal team to convince the Attorney General, to convince the state, that the case should either be dropped, or the cases, because there are three cases that are being discussed at the moment, that these cases should either be dropped completely, or that the charges could potentially be reduced. And that, I think, is probably the Netanyahu legal team's most likely, most optimistic scenario, particularly in the so-called Bezek-Walla case, which is case number 4000. And that is the one which is regarded as the strongest case that the state has against Netanyahu. And this is the case in which Netanyahu is accused of granting favors to Shaul Alevich, who was the owner of Bezek, in return for getting positive news coverage for him and his wife in the press, in the social media, and in the press empire that the Aloviches actually owned. And so this is really what's considered to be the most serious and pressing of the cases. And we understand that the Attorney General, Avichai Mandelblit, regards that case to be really the critical one, which is being levied against Prime Minister Netanyahu at the moment. The other two cases, from reliable sources, we understand that the Attorney General might have considered dropping those other two cases completely if it wasn't for this Bezek case. This is really the main one up around which all of the charges against the Prime Minister really revolve. And so this is the one which the Prime Minister's legal team are likely to be concentrating on the most. And we understand that the idea will be to try somehow to reduce the charge from bribery to breach of public trust. That would be the most optimistic outcome, according to what I've read, for the Prime Minister's legal team. And if he manages to reduce the charge from bribery to breach of public trust, then it means quite a number of things, the most important of which is that the court in which the trial will be held will not be the district court, but will be the magistrate's court. And the magistrate's court, not only being a lower court in the pecking order of courts, but it's also considered to be a court that's much more friendly towards politicians, because the judges sitting, the magistrates sitting in the magistrate's court, all have some sort of desire to be promoted, and they need to have the help from politicians in order to get these promotions. So therefore, there is a kind of a quid pro quo that's seen happening at the level of the magistrates' court, which will somehow allow the magistrates involved to get promotion, to get support from the political sphere, to get promoted if they somehow view these cases a little bit more positively, whereas at the level of the district court, those judges have are considered to be sort of at the top of their game. They don't really see any possibility of being promoted to the Supreme Court. They seem to have achieved the highest level that they are likely to achieve in their legal careers, and therefore they are not so likely or have not as much desire to please the politicians in the way that the magistrates court judges do. So this is just some of the flavor that's going on around these 4 days of hearings that we're going to see happening now. The Prime Minister did originally request that these pre-indictment hearings be made public, that they be done in public, and the Attorney General was very frustrated and quite annoyed by that request, because he decided that the Prime Minister was trying to somehow solicit public support while he's undergoing these pre-indictment hearings, and the Attorney General was having none of that. He said that he would go through the pre-indictment process in the same way as every other citizen of Israel would normally do, and that means out of the public eye. So we're not going to hear, at least publicly, what will be going on in those hearings over the next 4 days. But I have absolutely no doubt that there will be a lot of leaks, a lot of information that we will hear coming out of those hearings.
And, of course, this has to have some impact, I imagine, on the negotiations that are taking place. Now, there was meant to be a meeting today between Kahol Lavan and Likud. That's now been delayed. Is this because of these hearings, or is this something completely different?
Well, delayed / cancelled, because I'm not really quite sure how to interpret it. The press was reporting last night after the end of Rosh Hashanah that the meeting was cancelled. Then Kahol Lavan came out to try to say, actually, the meeting's been delayed. But in fact, this was a meeting that was supposed to take place to try somehow to cobble a unity government together, because as we know, Prime Minister Netanyahu has been given the mandate to form a government by President Rivlin. There was talk just before Rosh Hashanah of the Prime Minister actually returning that mandate immediately. There was talk of it going to be returned even on Sunday, and then there were suggestions that the mandate would be returned today. There hasn't been further discussion about that in the few hours since Rosh Hashanah ended late last night. But there is still a possibility that the Likud might decide, along with the Prime Minister, to return the mandate immediately to the President, knowing full well that they can't form a government, that they don't have enough support. So then there was this discussion late on Sunday about a meeting that was put together for today with Kahol Lavan and Likud. Again, I think at the instigation of the President, to try and see if there's a possibility of a unity government being put together. Benny Gantz is still insisting upon the fact that he will not serve in a government where Prime Minister Netanyahu is actually the Prime Minister. That's what he's saying at the moment. There have been some discussions about the sharing of the Prime Ministerial role, or rotation, where that he could have actually even offered that Netanyahu would be Prime Minister only for one of the 4 years, with Gantz being the remaining 3 years, just as long as Likud and Netanyahu would get the first year rather than wait until the second rotation. That seems now to have been rejected from what I can gather. And then, of course, we heard that the meeting that was set for today will not happen. Whether it's been cancelled and whether it's been delayed is not clear. But I have no doubt that the pre-indictment hearings are, in fact, the main reason why that meeting has been put off from today. And I think that the idea is that Kahol Lavan want to see how the next 4 days go and what reports come out by the time we get to Yom Kippur on Tuesday night, in order to determine whether it's in their interest at the moment to sit down with the Likud, who still have the mandate in their hands, or whether they should perhaps wait until the mandate is revolved over to Kahol Lavan, and whether they might not do better in putting a government together. So at the moment, I think there is still so much uncertainty about what is likely to happen. And of course, the Prime Minister's legal battles are not making it any easier in terms of trying to predict what might happen next.
And certainly a very interesting episode, but just wondering how it is going to, how it's all going to play out. We don't have a lot of time, unfortunately. That was our fault, but I do want to quickly talk about this. Israel has been secretly providing work permits to thousands of Palestinian workers from Gaza to allow them to work in Israel and in the Palestinian Authority area. Why has Israel been providing these permits?
Well, I think that, you know, we've had the situation since 2007 where work permits have sort of been issued and then withdrawn according to things that have been happening with Gaza. And the withdrawal of the work permit is really some sort of a punishment for rocket fire, for missiles, for balloons, whatever had been sent over, attacks that have come from Gaza. But now the Israeli authorities have decided that with the slight calm that we've seen over the last few weeks, that there seems to be some logic to providing something like 5,000 what they call merchant permits. These are effectively work permits to allow a Gaza residents to come to Israel to work as laborers in construction, in agriculture and manufacturing, and jobs of that sort of nature. And this is a very, very new development, but